This episode of the Within the Trenches podcast is sponsored by Indiana Nina as well as InDigital Telecom.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good evening. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 61 of Within the Trenches, and I'm recording live from the Marriott East in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the annual NINA conference. And for this episode, I'm going to be talking with Jessica, who is a dispatcher slash CTO with Kosciuszko 901 Communications, and she also received the Teamwork Award. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. Have you been here for the entire conference, or did you just
we
come
came down
Wednesday?
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday,
yes.
Okay, and where did you attend the class with Kevin Willett?
No, we did not get to attend that. We didn't come till after that.
Oh, okay. I heard it was really good, and I actually had him on the podcast, and we were talking about it and stuff. And just from the stuff that he was telling me, I wish I would have been in there.
Yeah, I've heard that it was good. Also,
yeah, it was good. But for the opening ceremony, which we'll get to this, you know, this part a little later in the episode, but you ended up getting the Team Work Award. So congratulations right off
Thank
the bat
you.
With that. So what I want to do is I want to, you know, help tell your story. You know, how did you get involved with dispatching?
A friend of mine asked me to be part-time at their agency, and that's what got me started. I've always been on the other side. I've been a volunteer firefighter for 11 years. So I've always been on the other side of the radio. Mm-hmm. I grew up around it. But I never had any intentions of being a dispatcher until I started working part-time, and I loved it.
Just immediately?
Immediately.
So was it something too that when you're working on the other side that you kind of hear what they're doing, maybe a little curiosity as to,
yes,
I wonder what they're doing on that end.
Can I be out there also? Yes, very much. I have a hard time just sitting, not being able to help.
That's awesome. And that, you know, that also would go with, you know, the fact that you're a CTO now too.
So, right.
And you're training and stuff. So when you first started in dispatch, what was your training like?
Well, when I started at my part-time agency, it was not a 911 center, just did police dispatching. So it was a lot different. It was very informal. When I started at Kosciuszko, we had a 12-week, I went through a 12-week program because I already had some I'd already been doing it for six years. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a whole lot. And it's all in-house there. They do all of their training in-house, which is very nice. I mean, you're working with the people that you're going to be working with for your time frame. So
that's awesome. Now, do you think it was easier for your training because you had the experience before?
Very much so.
Okay, so it definitely helps to
have
that going in. But so then, you know, you had the other experience before coming into part-time. Did that kind of help as well?
Yes.
Like to kind of round it out for you?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, at my part-time, I was the only person there. Whereas at Kosciuszko, you're always there with three other people. So it is a totally different environment, but you're doing the same job.
So what kind of shifts did you work when you were doing part-time by yourself?
Days, seconds, and thirds. I worked all three shifts.
Oh, finally, someone that I can relate with. Okay. I'm like a little kid in a candy store now. When I first started out, I worked for a police department. Uh-huh. It was in Florida, and it was a small city. Nobody really knows about this city, but it's named Frostproof. And that's where I started out, and I was by myself, 8-hour shifts. And I don't know how you did it, but we rotated. So every 2 weeks we rotated. So I worked 2 to 6, and then, it was 6 to 2, 2 to 10, and then 10 to six is what we did. And we had to rotate every 2 weeks, and it sucked, but it was still fun.
Right. Right. We didn't, when I started, we just, our fill-ins, they only had 3 full-time people. And so you just filled in on their days off. So we didn't have necessarily a set schedule, but at the beginning of the month, you had to pick what shifts you wanted for the whole month. So I did. There were times I worked days, seconds, and thirds, and
Well, that's kind of cool that you at least got to, you had a choice.
Right, right.
So how was it when you made your switch from part-time to the center that you're at now? And I get the call volume. How was that?
The call volume is very different. The city police department where I dispatch, I still do dispatch part-time there, mm-hmm. is very much like our city police department where I dispatch at now. However, you have everything else added on top of it, fire, EMS, all the other police agencies.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's probably 10 times the call volume easily.
Oh. And what was the adjustment like?
I wanted to do everything myself, uh-huh. I think, because I was used to being the only person there and I didn't rely on my partners as much. And now I realize that you have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it is so much more busier.
Yeah, definitely. You need that team to get through everything. That was my struggle as well, because I was working by myself. I wanted to do everything. And
right.
I was the same exact like you, you know, they'd say, you know, you can tell us, you know, we're right. here to help you. I'm like, right. oh, I want to. I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah, you're like, so used to doing it everything on your own that's just the mentality that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the call volume definitely, just like you, was way different than right. before. I mean, we would take, I don't know, 5 or 6 calls or something out of that 8 hours.
Right.
And being at my old PSAP, it was like within a few minutes, it was double that or right. more if... because everybody's got a cell phone.
Right,
so if
right.
there's a crash on the highway, everybody's going to be calling.
Right.
You know, and you pick up the phone and you're saying, oh, you're talking about the crash over there, you know, so-and-so right. place. And like, oh, yeah, you already got the call? Yeah, about 80 of them.
Right, right.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of them. But uh-huh. thank you for calling. You got to do it with a smile.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was it like when you first started taking 911 calls? I mean, was it scary or did you know it was like, this is what I got?
No, it was nerve-wracking at first, mm-hmm. but after the first couple of calls, it was like, oh, this is easy. It's not much different, you know?
Right. You never had any of those moments where it was like, what did I get myself into?
No.
No?
No.
I know in the beginning when I switched to the bigger center, the first call I took was, it was a domestic. And I remember taking the call and they're just screaming and screaming and screaming. And I hit the wrong command on the command line and it froze up my screen.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember looking at my trainer and I cupped the phone and I put it up above my head. And I said, you got to take this. I said, I just screwed up the CAD here and I can't get everything that she's saying. And she's like, no, you got this. You can do this. And you know, if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have made it through that
right,
call.
Right.
But she ended up running over and she fixed the computer. She's like, okay, go. I'm like, all right, I got this. So, I did, you know, kind of in that moment in my head, like, what am I doing here?
Right.
Like, I
right.
don't know if I can do this. But no, it ended up working out and it was good.
Yeah.
Do you remember any calls that you took early on? You know, something that kind of stuck with you?
Not specifically, no.
They all come in and go. And
yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of good because...
I don't take a lot of it with me. I try and leave work at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, how does it work for you? Because, I mean, I know it's different for everybody, but, like, for myself, there would be times where I would go home. And it wasn't a call or anything. It would be just saying... Like for instance, saying negative at home.
Right. You know, oh, I do that to my husband all the time.
Just continuing to talk
right.
as if I was at work.
Right.
You know, it's not dwelling or taking calls home with me. It's just talking like I'm at work.
Right.
My wife would say, you're not at work. You need to chill out. Everything is fine. Talk normal.
Right. I find like if I go home and tell my husband something that happened, mm-hmm. then that's it. You know, that was my day. It's over.
That's good. Well, there you go. For people who are listening, just get it out and move on. No, yeah. that's good because, you know, a lot of people sometimes do just take
right.
it home and they dwell on it and it sucks. And but so what made you want to get to, you know, to CTO and to train other people?
Actually, my supervisors asked me to be a trainer mm-hmm. and I was very reluctant at first because I am a more of a do it myself type of person. So... I was reluctant at first to offer to do training, but I haven't officially trained anyone like completely. So,
So what's the process for that? I mean, they asked you to do it. Do you have to go to, I don't know, like a school or anything?
Yes, they do. They send you to 3-day school mm-hmm. to be a trainer.
And what do they teach you? What do they go through?
Actually, it was online. You can do it online or go to the day class itself. And I did it all online. They just teach you about, you know, not everybody comes in with experience. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that don't know anything about it when they come in, and how you should not necessarily judge them, but encourage them instead of judging them.
Right.
That type of thing.
Well, that's good. And how big is the center that you work at?
There are 16 full-time dispatchers. So we don't have any part-time, and then we have 2 supervisors.
And then how many do you have working on at a time?
On my shift, I'm primarily on second shift, and we have 4 people on our shift at all times. And then days and thirds have 3 people.
Do you have the usual frequent flyers?
Oh, yeah. Everyone does.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how do you deal with them? You know, they call in, they're wanting and wanting and wanting, and it's just...
It honestly depends on who it is. Mm-hmm. We have someone that calls in multiple times per day, and we're like, we'll take care of it for you, and they're fine with that. Mm-hmm. They don't need to talk to an officer or that type of thing. But you have the other people that are persistent, that they talk to somebody, and we just get their information and have someone call them.
That always works. We started having to do that with a lot of people, because they would call and they would know how to work the system.
Right. Right. Oh yeah.
It's crazy. You know, when I had first started my old PSAP, they were like, you know, you're going to get a call from this person. It's inevitable. And this is how you do it.
Right.
But yeah, there's always that one.
Yes. Yes.
Now, have you ever dealt with any situations where, you know, there's people that you might know, or, I mean, that you work with, that have fallen into that kind of, that slump where they're going to work now to just for like a paycheck?
Oh yeah.
You know, how do you deal with that? Cause I know I've talked to a lot of people, and, you know, they sometimes fall into that, and right. They're not sure how to get back out of it. Like they love the job,
right?
You know, they love doing it, but there's just something there that's just bogs them down.
Yeah. We don't really have anything that we offer mm-hmm. necessarily, but we do try and encourage each other. I don't know. We do try and encourage each other, you know, take a day off and come back and you'll be refreshed and mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Now, when you guys, especially because you know, being a CTO, when there's calls that come in that people take that are hard calls, do you guys... Or do you yourself, do you do a type of like critical incident stress management at all? Or do you do debriefings?
We do minimal debriefings. Mm-hmm. It is available if we went to our supervisors, or there's a few other people that we can contact if we feel like we need to talk to somebody. It is available. Mm-hmm. I know that we don't utilize it like we should. But it is available to us. There. Yeah.
Have you found that it has been helpful for people?
Yes. Yes.
And I know I've asked this question before to others, but I want to get your opinion on it. Do you think it's better when there's a debriefing to have someone who's just a straight counselor, or to have someone who's actually, you know, a dispatcher to speak to another dispatcher about the issue that they're going through?
The ones that I've been involved in have been outside mm-hmm. parties. And I think that they have a different perspective. So it makes a difference. Mm-hmm.
In a good way, like it yes. actually is effective.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Now, the teamwork award. Now, tell me about this, because I saw the video, and I wish I had it so I could at least play it so that we could hear it as well. But tell me about this. What exactly happened?
It was a May afternoon, mm-hmm. and. Getting close for the kids to be out of school for the summer. And I took a call of a school bus accident, and I'm like, okay, is there more than one school bus involved? And they're like, yeah, there's 3 or 4.
Oh, wow.
And so then my second question was, are there kids on the buses? And they were like, yeah. And immediately I was like, we have a huge mess on our hands. I mean, that was just my initial reaction was great. You know, I have 3 or 4 school buses full of kids. and any of them could be injured. So immediately I was just like, this is going to be a huge mess.
Yeah.
You know, but it did go very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for the shift partners that were working. I know that they all did a great job. Also, we all really did work together on it.
How many people were working at the time?
There was only three of us at the time.
Three of you?
Because that was all that was required on our shift.
Oh, okay. And you said it was about 5 o'clock when?
I think it was around 3:30.
Oh, 3:30. Okay. Yeah. Because school is just coming out.
Yeah.
5 o'clock would be a little later.
Yeah.
Why are they getting out that late?
Yeah.
But the video, I guess it doesn't do it. You know, that watching that video and seeing the buses is what I'm getting at. They look destroyed.
Right.
Did they say what happened? You know, because it was three, right? Three or four buses?
Yes. One of them didn't. The back bus did not stop. So then it was just a chain reaction.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So how many calls did you get? Do you remember?
I don't know. I tried to stay on the phone, I think, with my caller initially for as long as I could. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we took several calls on it.
And once again, everybody's got a cell phone.
Right,
so
right.
I'm sure.
Right. And then after, you know, you start to get everybody going, then you have the parents calling, the media calling, and we didn't know anything at that point. So.
Yeah, that's always hard when you've got parents calling up. And
right.
I don't know how you do it, but in my old PSAP, when we would have parents calling up, we'd say, okay, we'll take your name and number and we'll have one of the sergeants call you or whoever's in charge.
Right.
And that was always, I guess, the most frustrating thing for the parents because
right.
they're not getting any answers from us.
Right.
And then they just keep calling over and over and over.
Right.
And it's like, oh, gosh, I wish I could do something to help you.
Right,
you
right. Know, but I wished I had an answer, but I don't.
Right, you know, yeah. So then what do you do then? And how do you deal with the media?
We are allowed to give them very minimal information because mm-hmm. We have a PIO officer. And a lot of times we just tell them that there hasn't been a press release issued and they just have to wait for that. Otherwise, they can contact the PIO directly, but...
Man, you give them a little more than what we used to. Because
I don't like to give them information because
yeah.
we're on the inside and we don't even know if that's true at that right. point in time also. So I don't personally like to give them information, but if they consistently call or ask, then we give them like the location, what time it was at, you know, just the very, very minimal stuff. Right. But...
Yeah, they get pretty sneaky, though.
Oh, yeah.
I remember taking a phone call once. It was a structure fire. And, you know, when we page out the fire department, we had to page it twice. So they had already gone through the first page.
Right.
And they heard it. So they call up and I pick up the phone and they say, you know, this is news channel, whichever. Do you have a house that's fully engulfed? And I said, we don't have a call like that yet or anything. And, you know, just playing dumb.
Right.
And... my partner is setting off the tones for the second, for the second time that she's giving it out.
Right.
And I hear it going over their scanner. Yeah. And the guy says, are you sure you don't have a fire going on? And I said, are you sure you don't know more than I know? I said, I can hear my partner on your scanner.
Right.
And he didn't say nothing. And he goes, so you're not going to give me any information? Like, nope. I said, you know as much as I know.
Right.
I said, you just
You're
heard
listening
it.
To the same yeah. thing.
Earlier on when I started doing this podcast, my co-host and I, they did a story on it. And the local news came in and we were talking about that, about the media and stuff. Uh-huh. And she goes, so tell me honestly, I think she said, are we that big of a pain in the butt or something like that? I was like, oh, yeah, you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, so it was funny. She had a good sense of humor about it. She was laughing and stuff. And I said, you know, it's kind of weird that we're doing this, you know, dispatch and media. We're kind of bridging the gap here a little
right.
bit. Like maybe we can actually work together.
Right.
Now, I was wondering, do you guys do anything with social media? Like when you have any calls that are going through or maybe even road closures or anything, do you do anything on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that?
The county sheriff's department does have a Twitter website. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a Nixle, which is a media alert that can be sent to your email or your phone also.
Nice.
But we don't have control over that. as far as dispatchers, would be the PIO guy that sends them that information. Then, but if we do need to get something out there, he's more than willing to do it for us.
For those who don't know, what is a PIO?
A public information officer.
Okay. For a minute there, I wasn't sure either. I thought that's what you meant.
Yes.
And I was like, maybe I should put it out there too in case anybody else doesn't know. But that's good that you actually have somebody to do that. It seems like a big thing now. You know,
right.
A lot of people are starting to do it, and the public, you know, surprisingly, is really taking to it.
Right.
Where do you see like the future of 911 going? I mean, we've got Texas 911 that's coming out soon. This whole next generation thing, photos, videos, and then social media in there. Do you see it continuing on that way?
I do. Unfortunately, I do. I know a lot of stuff gets posted on social media before even the responders are there. Which
that is true.
I mean, people know about stuff before someone can even get there to find out what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And that is frustrating for us because I think it just makes more calls for us inquiring about what's going on.
Right.
When we don't even really know yet.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, people, I think it's called citizen journalism. Is when I was in class, that's what they were telling us. That's what this is. You know, a lot of people go with, you know, you got your cell phone. Everybody's got a smartphone, and people will drive by a crash, take a picture of it, and send it right into a news outlet.
Right.
And a lot of the time now, what they're doing is that's how they're able to put out the news too.
Right.
They're taking from all these citizen journalists that are taking the pictures, and then 911 is flooded.
Yes.
So it's, I guess it is like a double-edged sword.
Yes, you know, it is.
It can be good and then it can be bad.
Right.
And so are you excited for like the text of 911? And I know that your center has been using the outbound and such. So,
yes.
I mean, how's it been for you using it?
I like it for the simple fact that you are able to do something else. Whereas if you have a 911 hang up, you're stuck on the phone trying to call them back, where you have the option to text them. And I think that that makes it easier for us to be able to keep up with something else that's going on, or you're not just stuck on the phone. I know personally that I try and, as soon as I get the hang up, I try and enter the number to try and text them while I'm trying to call them back also.
Mm-hmm. And everything's been working out good.
Yes. Though. Yes.
That's awesome. Do you think the public will to take to it as well?
I do think that they will. I do think that they will. I mean, I know that they keep telling us how many calls or how many people try and text 911 now.
Yeah.
Even though it's not working. So I can just imagine that it will be substantial once it goes live.
I'm thinking that the hearing and speech, you know, impaired community are really going to take to it as well.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see as we move forward how it's going to work for them and work for all of us. And, you know, just other dispatchers hearing you talk about it is even better because, you know, there's a lot of people out there thinking, crap, text a 911. How's this going to work?
Yeah.
Have you had any, because, you know, there's always 911 hangups or calls where people are trying to prank and stuff. Have you had anything like that through text yet?
No, not on text. I know we have at our agency. Mm-hmm. But I personally have not taken anything that was a prank.
Ah, I'm sure it'll be coming soon.
Oh, I'm sure too. I'm sure too.
Going into the wrap up of this, what do you think about, you know, everything that's been going on in the conference? I mean, do you think it's been beneficial for you learning new things?
It's my first conference, that I've been to, and I have really enjoyed it. I think that it is very beneficial, and I hope that more people will be able to attend in the future.
You know, they were talking about doing, I think like scholarships and stuff so that, you know, more people are able to go. So if you had the chance, would you go to one of the national ones?
Yes, definitely.
That one is pretty amazing. Last year I was there. It was the first time I was at a national conference and it was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea what to expect. But yes, I was very impressed with how the week has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, you know, with not just the classes, but, you know, the networking.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure I know that when I was still working and I went to the Michigan NENA conference, there was people that I would see there and I didn't know them by face, but I knew them by voice.
Right.
Yeah. So, and they were, you know, surrounding counties, and I had never, you know, actually met them before. So they'd come up and Ricardo, I'm like, oh yeah. Like, oh it, yeah, it's you. We just talked the other day. I ran something for you.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, having that experience is good as well.
And yes.
I mean, I don't know how it was for you here. If there was other people that you saw, they're like, oh, I know who you are.
Yeah.
But no, it's always good to be able to learn new things and network. So going into the wrap up of this, as I said already, is there anything that that you'd like to say for, you know, any dispatchers out there who might be thinking about coming to a conference or even to get into dispatching, seeing how you are, you know, a CTO in training? You know, how about we go with that? Anybody who's thinking about getting into dispatching, from your experience, what would you tell them to continue going on or trying to get into dispatching?
If you think it's something that you really want to do, you should really try it. Mm-hmm. Go into your local center and see if they'll let you sit in for a shift or for a couple of hours at a time and see if it's something that you really want to do. Because I really do enjoy it.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for being on this episode of Within the Trenches.
Thank you.
And and congratulations once again for
thank
that
you.
Teamwork award. I think what I'm going to do for this blog post, because with every episode that I do, there's an actual blog post that comes along with it. So what I'll do is I'm going to hunt down that video.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm going to post it on the blog as well.
Okay.
So that people can see it and see exactly, you know, what you were talking about. Because once they see the buses and everything, it adds to what you went through, you know, and going through and stuff for that call.
Right.
So for those who are listening, if you have any questions or any comments or anything like that, you can email the show. And that's going to be at wttpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. And that's @911podcast. And you can find us on Facebook as well as like us. That is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And then this episode, along with all the others, will be available 24/7 on thejabberlog.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spreaker. Have a good one.